the A-Dub Club. I'm Andrew Whipple.
I'm Alex Wade.
And here we are, back again. It's been a little while since our last one. That will have no bearing on the amount of time between release, but at least
three months, four months, the
alternate timeline that we exist in that, again, has no bearing on the release timeline. But have not yet hit a moment where it's been a year since a in between when an episode is recorded and when it is released. And so I'm counting that as a victory on my part.
With all due respect, are you sure about that? What is that record so far?
Pretty sure. Oh, there's definitely been like up to, I think it's hitting up to 9 months for some episodes, but yeah. I don't think we've broken 12. And I'm going to choose to believe that until, hey, write in if you can provide documentary evidence to the contrary. if you haven't noticed, I have started having to put this episode was recorded on blah date in the show notes because I'm like, what are the chances that we're going to, especially for any of the, like, how have you been for the last 6 months things where I'm like, oh, we're going to talk about, I guess we're well past the time of talking about how has the pandemic been treating you? But I'm sure there's something that you say that is woefully out of date.
When World War III breaks out, although one could argue, and we don't bring it up in our conversation, like that would be a notable gap.
That's true. But we're not here to talk about World War III, to the best of our knowledge. What are we here to talk about, Alex Wade?
We are here to continue our woodworking series. Hey, can you help me refurbish my dresser? That is the question that I'm posing towards Whipple.
Absolutely. On that subject, I have been getting into, they just finished re-airing all of them on YouTube, but the old PBS woodworking show, The New Yankee Workshop, those episodes have been posted for free. And so I've been watching through them and I'm like, oh, how charming, how wonderful. Unlike most woodworkers of certainly my age or older, I did not grow up watching The New Yankee Workshop. So this has been a fun little educational experience for me to learn
the Yankee
culture.
The New Yankee Workshop. Interesting. Never heard of that before.
Me neither. But apparently it's a like this old house adjacent show that used to run on PBS back in the day. But that's exciting. So wait, tell me, how did this opportunity for a project come to be in your life?
Yes. So I live in the great place called New York City. And we have this
greatest
thing called
in the world, cue the Hamilton soundtrack, et cetera.
I disagree with the idea of it being the greatest city in the world because I don't believe there is a greatest city in the world. It's like saying there's
and
a greatest.
Sure ain't Philadelphia. I'll tell you that much.
But something that we do have here is stooping, which means if you have something and you can just put it on the side of the street and eventually either another person will pick it up and bring it to their home or the trash people will come and throw it away. And I recently moved, I guess not so recently now, 3 or 4 months ago, and I have in that time stooped a high top table, a dresser, and also a trunk, I believe is the word for it. The dresser is what I'm here to talk about today, mostly. That was right outside my apartment, and it needs some improvements because it, first off, was on the side of the street, and that means usually that someone doesn't care for it. But yeah, it's a little rundown. I've just started moving some clothes into it because it is usable in its current state, but it definitely needs a lot of improvements to it. And I guess that's what I'm here to talk about today.
Nice. Cool. So normal dresser size, like...
No, actually, I'm going to go and take a picture of it right now, and you will skip over or cut past this time.
Ooh.
Yes, so I believe... I don't know I'm going to take my tape measure right now and measure it just for the audience's sake. Fantastic. So it is roughly 2.5 feet tall, I believe I did 7.5 feet long and a little over or around 2 feet in depth. So it is definitely a lower dresser that is long and sturdy. It is definitely made of like a solid wood, as it is very fucking heavy. I paid a random guy $20 who was passing by me on the street to help bring it to my apartment.
Hell yeah. Okay, that was going to be my question. It looked like it's probably solid wood, or maybe veneered solid wood from the picture that you sent.
It is not veneer. And I can tell
you. Okay. Yeah, I was just going off of one of the corners. But yeah, for the listeners at home, this looks like it's a, I would imagine it's sort of a buffet cabinet originally, based on the fact that it's swinging doors rather than drawers or something like that.
Oh, it does have, sorry, those are drawers in the center. I'll send you another picture.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's also some random crap on the side and on top of it.
Yeah, if I had to guess, it was probably something more like a buffet cabinet, but there's no reason you can't use that as a dresser. And in fact, it is very fun to do so. Okay. Yeah. So doors open up and then there's drawers behind the doors.
Yes. Two smaller sets on either ends and then a larger set in the center of drawers.
But yeah, no, a nice little solid wood cabinet. Got a lot of, for the listeners at home, got some nice like moldings on the top and on the bottom, got some little like fleur-de-lis decorations in the door panels, some other sorts of like molding and cornices. Are these cornices? I don't know. I don't know the terms for this kind of stuff, but this is fun. The thing that's exciting about this is that, one, it's nothing remotely like in any style that I have ever built anything before, but I believe that I can, most of the stuff that I do, in part because if I'm building it myself, it's not simpler per se, but like, I tend to both be more inspired by mid-century modern stuff, which is, yeah, is more straight and curved lines, but less decoration and less decorative elements in comparison to stuff like this. That is no idea what style you would call it, 'cause I am by no means a historian of furniture styles.
Feels older.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so. Either feels older or feels made to look older, done in a, yes, done in, sure, an older style, even if it's a more contemporary actual piece.
Yes. So I guess we'll just get right into it of what my concerns are and how I want to improve it.
Yeah.
So in the picture, I don't know if you can tell, it was pretty chipped on the top of the actual varnish. Yep. And at first, what I was doing was I sprayed all down with water, got a wet, damp towel, let that sit, mm-hmm, for like 20, 30 minutes, had an iron that I would press down on it. This would make the varnish bubble and I would chip at it. I got maybe about a quarter of the way through on the far left side. And before I was very frustrated and I was like, screw this. I'm going to figure out how else to do this. And I went to the store, got varnish remover. Mm-hmm. I then put the varnish remover on there and it was pretty effective. I think I could probably still stand to do another layer. You can't really see in the picture I sent you, but it's not, mm-hmm, fully removed like it was with the chipping that I had done before. Yeah. And I definitely can't chip off the rest of it because it is now like the deeper set into the grain, I think, is the issue. The problem with that is it is in my apartment and I definitely could have caused some serious harm to myself. I was starting to get lightheaded and like it is next to a window and like I have, yeah, a lot of windows on that side. But it was like I was getting lightheaded. And then on top of that, I got my towels that I started to like rub it down with. And I was like, okay, I'm throwing these in the washer. And I threw them in the washer. And I'm pretty sure I've checked now. And like it's a communal washer. And it is not ruined, but it was smelly for at least a little bit. And had to throw away those towels. I had a friend come over who he could smell it like the instant he walked out of the elevator, which, mm-hmm, is a good like 50 to, well, I guess that's probably 90 feet around a corner from where, you know, so it was bad of like, oh, the while effective, and I think, I have some questions on how to properly use it, but I generally get the picture. It was dangerous and I need a lot more prep work to, if I want to use that again.
I think that makes sense. Yeah, definitely. The more chemicals you involve, the more ventilation and protection is needed, and the less feasible that becomes in a shared apartment building type thing, as opposed to, in my case, lucky that I have a basement is where I do most of that stuff. And so I'm only annoying my dear sweet partner with the chemical fumes and sawdust, but not no one else. And we live in a townhouse. So we don't have shared stuff, but that certainly didn't stop me from doing basically this exact same sort of stuff back when I did live in an apartment. Well, no one kicked me out. All reasonable live and learn kind of stuff. And
the biggest problem I see is, first off, you can see those corners that are kind of chips on the front part of it.
That's what I was going to actually ask, if you don't mind continuing to get up. If you can give me a closer photo of one of the chipped corners, it looks like the one on the top right is the one that I can see in the photo, but any other one that has a like significant chip like that, to get a better sense of the layers of things.
Yeah. So I took two pictures. So this is of the actual corner. And then this is of, I don't know, at the top of the column, I guess is what you call it.
Sure.
Like the decorative column. So that, I think, like the varnish is just kind of rubbed off, which I'm not, there's a lot of potential of what I want to do with this. Do I want to restrip all the varnish on the front and sides like I did with the top? Which that would be a whole thing. It might be necessary, but it's a whole lot of like nooks and crannies. And I don't know if this is possible. Can I just potentially, I'm considering repainting over it in like a deep blue, which I don't know if that's going to go with it. I don't know if you can do that over a varnish, or also other side of things of like, I don't know if that would ruin the vibe of what this piece is. Like, should I keep it in the, you know, woods space, I guess.
Yeah. I will say my personal aesthetic preference, I almost always, unless it is like a really simple piece, I almost always prefer it to maintain the wood look of, rather than painting over it, with some exceptions. So I have a couple. One thing, the only thing that I have ever restored, which was a so-so restoration job, but let me see if I can find a good photo. A liquor cabinet that I restored a while back. I do love painting the inside of cabinets. Like a black or a dark color is fun just because I like the look of that. But like for the exteriors, I like painting things for accent purposes. I'll show you what I mean when I send you these photos, if I can figure out how to download them from Google Photos.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, that also might be a choice of you. I mean, it is pretty mostly fine in the front part of things in terms of chips. There's part of me that's like, oh, what if I just revarnished those columns and like made those cool accents, you know? But then the rest of it's still kind of, I don't know.
So this is the liquor cabinet that I refurbished. And so you can see in this case, there is paint on the, it already came like this where it was already painted on the like black section in between the chrome and the veneer, wood veneer top. So I left that painted and I like that sort of look. Same thing for the bottom. The bottom actually had more of a, it was still a veneer, but had more of a wood finish. But it was very water damaged and bubbled. So I just sanded that all off and then repainted it and then felt it over it. Cause I was like, whatever, this is going to be too much effort to try and re-veneer anything. So in generally speaking, my aesthetic preference, I always like the wood look and get very annoyed when I see on TikTok, quote unquote, furniture flippers who will just like paint it ugly HGTV-esque color. I'm assuming you would not do this based on everything you were talking about of like wanting more of a dark indigo. It sounds like you like the fact that this is a imposing dark piece of furniture rather than wanting like, I'm going to paint it a nice, light, bright, beachy blue.
Oh, fuck no. It would definitely be a deeper blue. Maybe not quite indigo, but like, I mean, indigo is my favorite color, but like a...
Yeah.
I don't know, a royal blue, maybe, like, or deeper. I don't know.
But yeah, based on what you shared, based on what the photos that I'm seeing, it looks like overall this piece constructed out of this lighter wood, it almost certainly was stained and then had its finish applied to it, whatever kind of finish it was. When you feel the parts that are still dark and still have the finish, does it feel like it's just feel like wood without any extra stuff on it? Or does it have any sort of a plasticky or a filmy feel
so like
to
the front part of it is what you're talking about?
The front part or the part like before you strip the finish off the top?
It's hard for me to tell. I mean, right now, yes, the top of it does feel different than the varnished part. I don't think I'm experienced enough to answer, you know, the touch and feel of things, but
yeah, no,
I guess asked this, can I paint over it versus remove it? Is that?
Yeah. Generally speaking, even if you want to paint it, it would be better to remove it and paint from there if possible. The big challenge that I'm going to see here is dealing with all these decorative elements, and removing finish from those is going to be significantly more challenging than obviously any of the flat parts.
Yeah. I'm also, it's very like, so I also have my new apartment is 13-foot ceilings, and I had another woodworker friend who was like, what you're going to have to do is get like plastic bags attached all the way up to the ceiling and section it off into its own space. Which I mean, maybe I can figure out some sort of, like I do have poles and stuff for my acting purposes, and I could potentially use those as like a makeshift roof sort of thing. But
yeah, he's not wrong. So I think that there's the two different reasons I could imagine why they would be saying that is one, if you're going to be, that probably won't do too much in terms of like ventilation, stuff like that. I'm assuming it's not going to be an airtight seal or anything like that. So I would imagine the two reasons would either be to, if you are in like the sanding or the stripping process, sanding especially, preventing sawdust from getting elsewhere throughout the apartment, a challenge that I had when I was doing apartment woodworking and not a challenge that I necessarily handled particularly well. or vice versa, then once you get into the refinishing portion of it, preventing dust and things like that from getting onto the finish as the finish cures or the paint cures, depending on what you end up doing. Those would be the two reasons that I would see segmenting it out, or as well, also like, okay, making it not having just a separation of space between the workspace and the life space.
I didn't think it would be like, oh, it's got to be airtight, but I assumed it would do something.
Not really, I would imagine. At least, especially not in the scale of like working in a studio apartment. Big studio apartment, but
I mean, it is a big studio apartment, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. What would be my steps if I was doing this for myself? I would try, unless your goal is to really try and make sure that you try and get a good match to the color that you currently have on the front, which plus side, it's varied. It's already uneven in the parts that it will go from darker to lighter in different sections. Yeah, there's a version of this that is more, all right, let's try to refinish the top and then touch up all of the spots that need touching up. That I think is totally doable. Is probably going to be, it's going to be tedious because it's going to be a lot of like color matching and getting into little nooks and crannies, and could be very fun. It is a long and detail oriented process, I suppose, would be that version of things, which could be very fun if that's what you're into.
Sure.
Alternatively, then the ideal would be to, as best as possible, try and strip down the rest of the finish. And again, my assumption is there's probably stain underneath the finish, not that the finish itself is stained, or that the color is coming from a stain on the wood and then a finish applied on top of it, rather than the color all just coming from the finish, just based on the gulf in color between the top that you've already stripped and the rest of the piece.
So what I got the varnish remover, which is like a multi-purpose, it strips away a lot of different options. It is a paint and varnish remover. It removes varnish, enamel, lacquer, epoxies, vinyls, acrylics, and urethanes. So what were you saying? There was a stain and a varnish?
Probably. That would be my guess. Let me look at the piece again a little bit more. All right. Now taking a step back. From what I can see, there aren't a ton of the biggest obvious functional issue, or like structural, not structural, but like a thing that is wrong with the piece as opposed to just like aesthetic problems, is no knobs or anything.
Yes.
Are all missing.
I haven't even gotten started on a whole bunch of these structural issues that are wrong with this.
Are there other structural things beyond that? Because that's the only one that I can obviously see other than like,
yes, there are.
A bunch of chipped corners.
There is one full missing box or drawer.
Drawer box?
A small drawer. Yeah, drawer box on the far left that was not shown. Some of the drawers do have a track on the bottom of them. Some of them do not. And there's also something weird going on with the top large drawer. There's just, it doesn't feel right for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really looked into why that is quite yet, but something's going on.
Are the drawers on like metal drawer slide things, or are they just like on wooden slides, if you can tell? Also, for the listener at home, let me clarify that I consider myself a reasonably good amateur furniture builder and guitar builder. I'm not nearly as good at restoration. That is its own unique special skill set. But again, I've done it once or twice for a couple pieces to mediocre to perfectly adequate, actually, results. The kind of results that you're looking for is someone comes in and they're like, oh, that's a really cool piece. Where'd you get it? And then you get to say, not only did I get it off the stoop, but I restored it myself, as opposed to something that like an expert comes in and is like, oh, there's not a flaw on it.
Sending more pictures. So what I think is happening, there is a metal track. I haven't checked all of them yet, but there's a metal track that is on the piece itself. And then on the drawers, there should be another metal track that slides into it.
Okay.
That I couldn't find one.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Very simple.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking of possibly just like, oh, I'm just going to redo all those. That seems like a very simple fix of just tracks that you can install and honestly just like screw in and it'll be fine.
Okay.
But yes, also the handles, both on each drawer and then also on the front of the doors.
Fun. Quite a challenge. Yeah. So I would say, given that there is so many little figurative details that will be quite annoying, I think unless the goal is to paint it entirely, which I think would look... Here's my own personal perspective. I think if once the top is refinished and maybe some filling in and trying to color match some of the more obvious dings and scratches and gaps, I think it would look better as a beat up wood looking piece than as a totally even painted piece is my own personal aesthetic.
What I'm considering, there's a couple options I'm considering. First off, top would absolutely just be refinished, restained wood. The front, I'm considering, I've been liking gold and copper lately. Like blue and copper go really well together. This might be too much of, oh, like the columns themselves and maybe some accents would be either gold or copper and the entirety of the rest of it would be like a deep blue, or doing just accents of blue and copper / gold, depending on if I decide on copper versus gold, which would be like the framing of each door of like the frame, like you see how there are four boxes in each door, that frame would be a deep blue, you know, and then maybe the columns would be copper, or just the top and bottom of the column would be copper.
Yeah. The important part is this is your piece that will live in your apartment. And so what matters most is your aesthetic preferences. So when I say, I think that would look bad.
For sure. That would be a choice. That would be a very specific choice.
That is coming from my own personal preferences and should not sway you away from what you prefer. And you're the one who lives with that, not me.
I do also think even as minimally as like just the top and bottoms of the columns, making those gold or copper would be a cool, interesting accent to it.
Yeah.
And like even going so far as to possibly like buying gold leaf and just having this, you know, very wooden thing that has gold leaf accents.
I could actually see gold leaf being even look better than gold paint.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I'm very curious about the little tops of the columns. It either looks like those are all made of some non-wood material, or they've been repaired with like a wood filler or something like that. From the look that I'm seeing here, those feel like they have a different consistency or a different feel when you touch them. Than
they all do are uniformly like those ones are fucked up. So that's interesting.
Got it.
They're definitely much different.
Okay. So then, all right. So that's interesting. Then that I think does point towards. Yeah, they're not the same material. May not be wood. Whether the entire thing or whether it's just the chunks that are visible are repaired with like a wood fill or something like that. I think that does point towards. Best move is some sort of painting or leafing or something on those, given yeah. that the color matching would be quite challenging in comparison to the rest of the piece. I think, yeah, if I were you, I would try to refinish the top, which will probably involve, or I would, I guess, how do you feel about the fact that there is color gradients going on across the front from like lighter to darker?
I don't hate it. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be, it's fine as long as it doesn't look ruined, you know? Sure. Like it can look worn, but I don't want it to feel like I just forgot to do that part.
Yeah.
Which is really hard for me to tell right now in its current state, but yeah.
Yeah, a plus side, now that I'm looking at this even more closely. I would suggest trying to see with sanding or scraping to what degree is it feasible to get the everything but the decorative elements, so like not the frames or even the things inside the frames. Those, I think, look more okay to me. Trying to get that not necessarily all the way down to bare wood, but at least like getting some of the top surface of the finish off. Seeing how that looks. Where I'm going with this. It's color matching is always a challenge.
Yeah.
It's much easier to color match if you don't have to color match because you've gotten everything down to an even layer beforehand. One plus side that you do have is assuming that the drawers or you showed me those photos that showed like the bottoms of the drawers and things like that. Assuming that yeah. those are made of a similar material as the, or similar wood species as the top, then that gives you a test bed to practice color matching and trying out different concentrations of stain, different types of finish, things like that on an cool. unseen part of the piece before you commit to doing it on the top. That said, you can yeah. always also on the top, try something, sand it off, try again with a different sure. version. But I think getting at least a little bit of, you don't have to go all the way down to the same degree as the top. Oh, I also, from what I can see from the top, I don't think you need to worry about like going too far. You've gotten it too.
I can take a picture of it, but.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is what I would expect to be the finish has been stripped stage. The goal is not to get it all the way down to totally pristine. This looks like it's an acceptable place to start refinishing from. Unless there's any like major spots that are still darker than the others.
There is absolutely just like some super minor stuff that I just did not.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send these two pictures to you. The first picture is that I have just sent, which should be sending over any seconds, is the side that I had started with chipping mm-hmm. and has my hand in it right there. Mm-hmm. It is much more even, with the obvious exception of the side mm-hmm. there that I do definitely need to still remove. That's the evenness that I'm talking about of when I was using hand chipping versus yeah. the second picture, which is more uneven, definitely the varnish yeah. remover. And I guess what you're like, it doesn't, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Like it's mostly off, you know?
Yeah. And I think, so no matter what you're going to need to, if you want to have any sort of, either any sort of color matching or just have it be a dark color regardless, you'll need to stain the top in order to, before finishing it. And the nice thing about stain is that stain can even out some of those color differences because
cool.
you're applying a stain over the top of it.
I'm thinking of also doing, so for the staining, because like you were talking about having it all be uneven and what that would look like. Mm-hmm. There are parts of the top, like hem, I guess you would call it, that are also chipping. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking possibly just sanding the top part, well, sanding it off the top part again, because I had some water on it, but sanding off the hem of it, and then leaving most everything else with the exception of like those columns. And so then that way won't have to match as much. It's not really that bad, the rest of it. And then I can have some fun with, I'm also, the more that I'm like tinkering with it of like, oh, gold leafing the tops and bottoms of those columns, painting the column itself blue, and like, that's it.
So yeah. It's very much,
you know, its own thing, but
I like that. And I think I would suggest, yeah, trying with sanding. I would also, as you're sanding the top or sanding that little hem, which is a fun term for it. I can't think of what the other term would be. So how much sanding does it take to, as you're sanding, get a sense of how much you're going through the layers of finish and sand, things like that?
How so? What does that mean?
I'm assuming the goal for this is to get that down to similar bare wood, like the top is what you would want to do for the hem before refinishing. So as you're going through from where it is now to bare wood, get a sense of like, okay, how long does that take me? How does color and how do things change as I go through that process, especially if you're using sanding as opposed to using like a stripper or something like that, which is what I would suggest. And the reason why I say that is because another thing that will help even out the look is if it is the case that there's a bit of a finish layer and then some stain on the piece as well, as opposed to all of it is in the stain. If what you're finding as you sand through that you can sort of get it feeling like raw wood without changing too much of the color, then I would suggest try doing that for the other flat surfaces, flat or like the bottom hem and the other flat surfaces of the door in the side, so that you can do a overall layer of, you can do apply stain to the parts you've sanded down to bare wood and then apply finish to everything but the stuff that you're going to paint.
Interesting. So I guess what is finish?
Yeah. So for, now we get to actually talk about some like wood stuff overall. Yeah. So generally wood in its natural state, when it's drawn out, it's susceptible to various forms of damage. And so you'll apply some sort of a finish to it to both prevent moisture from getting in and out of the wood, because wood does absorb moisture from the air and wants to be in equilibrium with the humidity that it lives in. And so you'll want to put a finish on it to protect it both from general humidity and moisture, stuff like that, as well as from scratches, dings, to prevent water from getting in if it's something like a tabletop or something that you would be putting like drinks on. And so there's a bunch of different types of finish that behave in slightly different ways. The ones that I tend to use the most, there's polyurethane, which is sort of like a plasticky film that will go on top of a piece. I've used that for a bunch of, that's what I started using for my woodworking finish. Typically speaking, a finish just offers protection and will offer a little bit more like shine to a thing. It'll make it look more like the difference between when you see the raw wood versus if you were to just wipe water over it and you see how it gets a much richer color that looks more like what furniture is supposed to look like. That typically comes from finish, is what provides that richer color to it. But typically a lot of finishes they can have some dyes added into them if depending on the circumstances, but a lot of the stuff that I use is more of a clear or as close to clear as possible, given that you are applying a new chemical onto a thing.
So I have completely, you know, varnish removed and sanded the top. I intend to get back to this project very, very soon. Is there a time limit, you think, of me, it being ruined since it's unfinished and exposed to my air?
No, it should be fine. The air part to it is not going to be as relevant for something like this, in the sense that it's much more relevant if you're working with like a big, giant 6 to 12 inches thick slab of wood that can really be susceptible to wood movement. And if you do something like only finishing one side of it and not finishing the other, then it can cop or bow or do things like that. Sure. This, you don't need to worry about that as much, in part because, as it looked like from the photos and would make sense for most furniture construction, as I understand it, the inside is not finished. So it already has existed for a very long time in a state where it's having moisture coming in from one side and not coming in from the other. That would also be more concerning.
I put a lot of water on it and wiped the water off because I had a whole lot of varnish on it.
Yeah.
Some soap on it. And it was, okay, great. Yeah, I was... Because I was getting lightheaded.
Yeah. No, the big thing you don't want to do is you don't want to let water like sit and soak into it.
Sure.
You can. But what that'll do is like that will...
I got to retain it anyway.
Unrecoverable. So. Yeah, it's not an unrecoverable thing. At worst, it will leave water stains. And then you can sand those out or treat them with... Oh, gosh. What is... You would steel wool in... vinegar. I think it's you soak steel wool in vinegar and then let that soak for a while and then dab that onto the water stained parts and that will neutralize the water stain somehow. I could totally remember. Oh, while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to send you a link to everything that I know about furniture restoration. I know from this YouTube channel, Dashner Design and Restoration. He's very fun. And everything I know about woodworking in general, I know from YouTube, but this guy in particular.
So I'm concerned, I guess, of the varnish all looking uneven of the front part. Like if the whole thing looks like it does right now, the front wise of various amounts of sun damage and darker spots of like it is a used lived in piece of furniture, like that's fine. Versus when I revarnish the top and potentially the hem, that will look different. Distinctly. Yep.
Yeah. So I think one, this is where, learning more about the construction of the piece or how the piece was finished via archaeology, I guess, in sanding off that hem, that will give you an archaeological clue as to, all right, how is this put together? How much of the color is coming from just this finish layer? I think so. That's sort of where I'm thinking if you can.
I guess also what I can do is just because like what I'm really concerned about is, oh, so sanding, that's going to be fine, but I can't sand those details. That's
exactly.
Going to be really hard. What I could do is I could just sand down all the flat parts. Mm-hmm. I would honestly leave the center of the squares as they are, even though that is a flat part technically.
Yeah.
And just do all the in-betweens. Revarnish that and like we will have these, we notice the difference between these squares and the side.
It'll feel like an intentional design choice rather than a
I didn't get to ever doing everything. And then I guess there's the curved part of the bottom hem, which that's probably going to be easier to shave or to sand than
and so that's where I think learning from how much color comes off as you sand, so thing that will probably get it the best looking result, but is the most effort, is exactly what you said. Sand everything down to bare wood, restain, refinish everything, and then you're left with a even looking thing. And paint or leaf or whatever for the column tops and bottoms, because those do not seem to be the same material. And presumably in the original piece would have been treated differently than the rest. The less effort, higher risk in the sense of you do have to do more color matching. The other thing that if it is possible, based on the way that the piece was finished and based on how much finish is left on it as well, generally speaking, like finish over finish doesn't work as well as finish over wood. And so if it is possible, based on the way that the piece was finished before, to be able to remove some or all of the top layer of finish on the flat parts without getting into the color too much, which may not be possible based on how it was put together, then that would give the opportunity to try and stain the top and the hem to color match the rest of it and then refinish everything again.
Yeah,
but behind the decorative parts.
I'm assuming some of the stain of the bottom part is deteriorated due to sun damage. Like you can tell the very bottom, right, of how it's like super dark in the corner and then it goes lighter, right? Are you saying just removing that finish is going to make those colors similar to each other?
Probably not. But so that, that could be a thing where depending on, again, how it was originally finished, It might make it look a little bit more even, or you might be able to preserve the color gradient if you like the look of it still being sort of sun damaged. So I guess, yeah,
sun damaged and worn. I mean, honestly, of all the flat parts, no. I don't like, to use that example again, of the bottom corner into the lighter part, that's fine. I don't mind that being there. Like, oh, it's gone through something, and that's fine. I don't care for it. Like, on the actual designs of the squares itself, I think that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, depth of, like, darkness in there that is due to damage and existing is cool. But might as well sand over the flat parts in my head. But yeah. Cool. So I feel like I've got a good head start on sanding, varnishing, finishing, etc.
Yeah. The other things I would add is that, or question, is the back of the piece colored and finished, or is it like the inside where it's unfinished?
I don't think so. Okay.
Because then that could give you an opportunity to test refinishing, and you still could do it in like corners and things like that. Of once you're getting to the
no, and also it is a different kind of wood.
Got it. Okay, cool. Then, yeah, I think the overall strategy being given that the cleanest thing that you can do being strip down, sand down to bare wood as much as is feasible, and prioritizing leaving stuff unsanded that is decorative elements, so that way there can be a clearer distinction between, all right, this is what this looks like. It, again, making it look intentional, then doing an overall, still trying to color match, but you have a little bit more freedom to not be as exact, trying to color match the same color that you have on the decorative elements with staining the rest of the piece, and then refinishing over everything and painting over those chunks. And then we get into the other fun stuff with the drawers and the bolts.
Yeah. So I guess the last bits about it. I mean, it's going to be easy just to buy and install handles. Like, that's not, I'm not super concerned about that.
Do you know if the, oh no. Yeah. Okay. That should be fine. The only thing I was going to say is if there's any damage to the holes where the handles were, that would necessitate needing to fill in those holes and then re-drill new holes for handles. Cool.
I mean, I could just make the holes bigger if I wanted to and have the handles be bigger hole inserts, right?
Sure.
Because the last big important thing is like rebuilding the other drawer.
Yeah.
Is that something, I mean, I could just, this is bespoke, so I'm presuming I can't just buy another online.
Probably not.
I guess that's the inception of standardizing everything in the world is, hey, guess what? You can just buy a replacement.
Looking at the drawers themselves, these are, not particularly complicated construction. Cool. That's great. The fun part will be matching the drawer fronts. That's the biggest. Well, I'm assuming it will all be challenging because this will be the first time that you're constructing something like this at all. So expect mistakes and expect problems. Based on just sort of skimming the look of this, it looks like these are all, this will mean nothing to you, but just it's all butt joints on the corners. And
I can also take a picture of the drawer itself if you want.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Oh, wait. No, I sent one to you.
Yeah, I can see the underside of it. Okay. It'll be fun. I'll send you a video on how to make drawer boxes if you want. But do you have access through any theatrical stuff, workshops, or people who are like, oh, yeah, sure, I'd love to build that thing for you?
Not as much as I would like. I am trying to get in with this one theater. But even then, that doesn't feel like they have a workshop, and it's just very much for the theater, and I don't think they would casually let me use it like that. Yeah. But there are definitely like wood shops that exist around that you can go to, because it is New York fucking City. Just to like, oh, I want to make this thing, and they're down to let you do stuff. So I would just, I guess, bring one of these drawers to there and just be like, hey, you could probably hire someone to help me too, frankly.
I mean, okay, so the fun thing is that I'm looking through this. This is the part that is going to be challenging podcasting. I'm looking through this and I'm like, oh, I know how I could do this. I would be able to put something like this together. How on earth one goes about describing that via audio?
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you're, we got a show coming up in a month, if you want to come and borrow one of my drawers. Or I've been trying to take a visit down to Philly eventually. And, you know, having a reason is a good excuse.
If you wanted, and we can talk about this more off pod, if you can send me more photos and measurements, that I think would probably be the, I could put this together. That'd be like a weekend.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hmm.
Okay, well, maybe that solves your drawer problem. Now, the biggest challenge is going to be matching the drawer fronts. Yeah, because I have no idea what kind of wood that is. But we can make some educated guesses of at least something that looks like in the ballpark color-wise, and then restain, refinish, or color match in the stain process is another.
I do also have a woodworker friend who might be able to help me identify the wood.
Oh, yeah. Or if the woodworker friend wants to do it.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
The reason I'm saying all this is because this is the kind of thing that's pretty straightforward to do if you have access to a table saw and a bandsaw or jigsaw and a router, particularly based on some of these edge details that I'm seeing, if you wanted to like actually match. Could be done with handsaws. I have built boxes like this with handsaws, and it sucks, but it sucks because I'm bad at them. But it is achievable. Certainly achievable.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. It's been even the weekend that I spent a little bit high in my apartment. Due to fumes, was really cool to do, and just to be like, oh my god, I cleaned the top off.
Yeah. And so that's I'll need to do a little bit more looking, because I've never used, or in terms of the finish that I now use, I have sort of fallen into four different finishes that I use in different applications that I like, maybe one of which would be workable for this scenario, given that you have the priority of it cannot fume up my apartment and make it so that I can't stay in my apartment safely is like priority number one. Priority number two is it does seem like this is not a, based on the, like, it's not feeling plasticky or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is probably some sort of lacquer or oil-based finish would be my guess, as opposed to like a water-based polyurethane or something like that.
Sure.
Meaning then to match texture and stuff like that and keep the same. Although I guess given that you're sanding more stuff off, you could get away with using a plasticier finish. But generally speaking, there's oil-based finishes are ones that will soak in and penetrate into the wood, and that's where they provide the protection by soaking into sort of those top layers of the fibers, versus stuff like a polyurethane will be a layer on top of the wood, which can sometimes be why they feel a little bit plasticky if it's a polyurethane-based thing.
Interesting.
So I think I'll need to remember how fumey this is.
Also, in terms of fumes, like, I'm considering still potentially using it for maybe those top decorative of the columns. Mm-hmm. And just, oh, like when I was using it before, I'm using it over the entirety of the top, right? I think using physically less will make it safer.
Yes, with the caveat of depending on what your, once it gets to the like staining and finishing process, you'll get more consistent and even results if you do a bunch of light coats, but those light coats covering the whole surface or part of the surface. Like you don't necessarily have to do the top and the fronts at the same time, but like any one contiguous surface that you're doing, you're going to get a better result if you do a light coat, but a light coat over the whole top or the whole hem or a whole door, for instance.
Sure.
Versus if you try to do in multiple parts on one surface, then it still can be fine if you're doing a bunch of light coats. For the finish in particular, that's one where like, well, if it's a finish that penetrates into things like an oil-based finish, then you might be able to have it work where you're doing batches at a time and it won't leave like weird gaps or weird parts where stuff doesn't.
Yeah. Okay.
Each other.
Well, in that case, I'm probably going to have to make some sort of like plastic tent and get a box fan or something just to point it out the window and be safer.
Yeah. So one of the things, that's one thing that I like about water-based polyurethane is that water-based polyurethane doesn't smell and doesn't fume up. It also gives it that like plasticky feeling, which is, you know, pros and cons. That's what I'm trying to briefly Google and see if there are other, shellac might be reasonable, especially if, are you planning on using this as a surface, like the top surface for putting other stuff on it, particularly like glasses or things like that?
I mean, I have coasters that I use pretty religiously, so no.
Okay, cool. Because the only big downside with shellac is that alcohol dissolves it. Oh. So that's the big issue that prevents shellac from being a good use for things like tables, though it's perfectly good for other types of furniture and other types of wood tools. Let's see. Wood finishes without fumes. Oh, you can use natural oil. Could be fun. I've never actually used any of those, but like,
yeah,
maybe that's your move in this case. So I've also used the thing that I am now using as my default finish on almost everything, which I love. It looks so good and it's so easy to apply. It's a hard wax oil that's called Osmo oil. It originally was designed, per my understanding, as like hardwood floor finishes, but it's really great. It combines an oil-based finish with waxes built in, and so it provides a very tough but still wood-feeling finish over the top, and it's great. All you have to do for it is flood the surface with a coat, let it sit for 15 minutes, and then buff out all the excess.
Oh, wow.
It does... Yeah. So it's expensive. It's a huge downside.
Sure.
And it does... It says that it's like no odor and no fumes, and I don't know what world they're talking about, man. I mean, it's definitely better than a lot of other finishes that I've used, but like it's not zero. We can do a little bit more research, but I would say maybe trying... Something like linseed oil or tongue oil could be very interesting for this use case.
Yeah. I think that's definitely going to be a question far down the line.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah.
The one plus side, unlike when I tried to refinish my liquor cabinet, is since it's already in use and already out and about in your space, and because you don't have a space like I do with my basement where stuff can just sit there forever, it will force you to not have it just sit in a corner in shame at yourself for not being able to fix it yet. And then you just let it sit for 6 months because you're like, well, I haven't figured out how I'm going to solve this problem. And then it just like festers as an annoyance in your basement. It will fester as a active piece of furniture that you're using for a purpose, different sort of hell, but,
yeah.
You won't forget about it, I guess, is the good way to put it.
No, I will not. I mean, I just moved some of my clothes over there today and yesterday, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm super excited for it. I got my couch recently, and just like things coming together in my apartment have been nice, you know?
Nice. Yeah. And it also, again, from the photos that I looked, it doesn't seem like there's any like major gouges or chipped corners enough to be worth fixing, given that it's an old thing and that you don't want to do a like, let's bring it up to 100% restoration.
No. It is. Yeah. Even I could use it right now and it would be fine, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I will be using it right now, you know?
Yeah. Cause that would then be the other big thing to consider is, do you like use wood filler to like rebuild some corners or patch in with wood for some corners or things like that, which that's looks like more trouble than it's worth for the current state of the thing. It seems like mostly a need a new drawer, need poles, and then to refinish the top. And in order to successfully refinish the top, you should probably sand down and refinish the non-decorative elements on the rest of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Super excited for it. Well, I guess thank you so much. I have another piece that I was going to talk about, but it's like, I haven't fully looked into it if it needs anything besides it just works on its own. And I think I'll skip that because it's, I think it's perfectly fine. Like, but
yeah, send me the pictures anyway, just out of curiosity. But
sure. It's a really cool piece. That's it's a trunk that someone, I think, like installed, like they glued or something the top down. So it doesn't open like a trunk anymore. And instead it made it a drawer. It's weird. But I also found it on the street, pretty close to my apartment. And they also added wheels on the bottom that make it roll pretty great. But yeah, wood stuff. It's fun.
It is. It's a great hobby.
I love, I mean, we're basically at the end. I love, though, that for the listener behind the scenes, part of the premise behind this was like, oh, well, this could be a fun way to get into talking about like hobbies in general and getting into more woodworking more broadly. And like, how did you get into woodworking and stuff like that? And no, we just talked for an hour and 10 minutes about it specifically as a consulting session for like, okay, what should we do about this one specific piece?
Yep.
Which the funniest thing in the world, which I'm very tempted to do, would be to not put any of the photos in the show notes. And so you'd only have to go off of our audio descriptions.
It's probably, I mean,
a step too far. Woodworking is fun. We'll have to save that for a part two episode on talking about woodworking. Especially the other funny part is, again, I said it before, I'm not good at furniture restoration. I've only done it once and it was an okay job. so that's the really fun part is like, oh, okay. No, watch the Dashner restoration channel. It's that has other good, all the good fun tips are going to come from that. I would say actually, yeah, watch one or two videos of that and you will probably get a sense of what I'm, a visual sense of what I'm talking about around some of the like color matching and like the different process between stain and finish, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that's about it, right?
I believe so. If you want to also book some billable hours with the ADEB Club, consulting on whatever your current project du jour, you can email us at theawclub@gmail.com. That's theawclub at gmail.com. You can also go to our website, theadub.club. That's theadub.club. There you can find our topics guide, which is a list of all the different stuff that we've talked about over the years. If you click a link on one of those, you'll see the episodes wherein that thing is discussed. You can also find our starter guide, which is a list of some episodes that we think are particularly good if this is your first time listening to the club, or if you are one of our 1.5 rabid fans and want to share and spread the love elsewhere and get other people into it, that is a good opportunity to do so. We think those episodes are pretty neat. And with that, I think that is everything.
Hit a club out.
Hit a club out. I'm just realizing that would have been a good thing to clip out and have as the post-credits sequence. Oh, well. Yeah. Sip, sip, sip. I love messing with the form.
Yeah.